Well, I was actually out in Glenswilly getting tyres on my car, so they were trying to contact me, but I had no signal. So I came back to the house and my husband came running out and told me what had happened. And it was just very hard to take in at the time. So I just started sort of pulling things together to head into to Donlow. So in the meantime, like, I had got a phone call from one of the O'Donnells, like Philip O'Donnell, and he said, you know, come down to my house, don't come straight in. He didn't want me driving. And he took me in, he drove me into Donlow that evening.
And was the house all sealed off?
Well, it was my granny's house, it was up the road, so it wasn't my actual family home, but the house was sealed off, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously you could get in. Mm. Were you told pretty early on what had happened?
Yes.
What were you told?
Well, my little brother had actually found him. And he'd come down and got my mum and my sister and another brother were in the house, so he'd gone down and got them, so they'd all been in and seen him, you know, so they were able to tell us exactly.
They actually saw the scene?
Yes.
I mean, this was like a butcher's shop, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He'd been shot with a crossbow.
Well, the crossbow didn't actually do much damage. It was only in his arm. Mm. But he was beaten and he was stabbed, 4 fatal stab wounds, and the back of his head was caved in with an axe. So
horrendous.
Mm.
And what kind of a guy was he?
He would do anything for anybody. He was very much loved the community, but he was a bit of a rogue at the same time. Like, you know, but he was into horses and he did funerals and but everything he did, you know, he was very good at. And like, he was no saint at the same time. Like, he had his troubles, like, you know, but he didn't start fights, but he definitely finished them. But, you know, he was just like, the week before he died, he came to me and he said, you know, I need money to, I'm short of money to get a car. And he said, I saw this lovely car and I want to get it. And he says, any chance you'd lend me the money? So I goes, right. So he found this car. It was covered in moss and everything. Like, it was, he spent 2 days cleaning it out. And it was like a new pin by the time he finished. And I found out after he died, I'd actually paid for the whole car. Yeah. But I didn't.
You didn't mind that?
No, I didn't mind.
And you say he was no saint.
No.
He had enemies.
Yes.
Did you know at the time, or afterwards have you subsequently learned he had enemies?
Well, he was due up in court 2 months after he died.
Okay.
For an assault that had happened.
Okay, so he'd got himself involved in trouble as well.
Yeah.
And you know that he wasn't a, you know, he was no angel. It's honest for you to say that.
Yeah.
So you think somewhere along the line there may have been people, you don't know where or what, and we can't really start finger-pointing here, but you think somebody must have had something against him, obviously. Yeah. Where's the investigation gone? You've had an inquest, obviously, and the inquest said that he was unlawfully killed.
Yeah, it took 6.5 years to get the inquest.
Yeah.
A long time. So because of the fact that it's an ongoing investigation, they didn't know how to go about. So in the end up, they actually recorded the inquest so that it could be used as evidence again at a later date if it needed to be.
Right. And the, as far as the police investigation is going, where's it at 10 years on?
It's at a standstill as far as we know. I think they've gone as far as they can. Like, I don't think there's been any murder like that in this area, you know, that was so gruesome. And I wouldn't say that the guards here would have the, you know, the training to deal with, you know, such an horrific, you know, murder. And I think that, I suppose, too, because they knew so many people, like, they went the length and breadth of Ireland interviewing people. I think there was over 900 interviews done in total, you know. So it made it more difficult. So one of the guards actually said to me, because he was a private person too and he kept his business to himself, that actually hindered the investigation. So I think, you know, if it was handed over to, like, the cold case squad that are a dedicated team that have got the experience of dealing with these things, maybe they might, with a fresh look at it, might right. be able to do something.
Now, I can't speak for the Gardaí, but I'm sure if the Gardaí were here today, they'd say they've given, you know, this everything they can.
Oh, yes.
They've put all the resources into it, you know, they've got to get evidence.
And, well, they have evidence because, well, to me, I feel that they have evidence because when I asked them if they had evidence at the time, they just said, what's the point of having it unless you have someone to connect it to? So I presume that there has to be forensic evidence there that would, you know, back up.
Yeah, well, then the next point is they've got to connect it to somebody.
Yeah.
So even if you have fingerprints, you've got to find whose fingerprints they
exactly,
are.
Exactly, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So you're saying at this point, look, it's 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We want a fresh approach taken to this. We want the cold case investigators to look at it.
Yes.
And have you spoken to any other families who've been through this?
No.
Who maybe have dealt with cold case inquiries? No.
No.
Do you think that might help?
Oh, you know? Probably would, yeah.
So what's life been like in the last 10 years since your brother was so brutally killed, you know, and to think in your mind, as you must do, of his last moments?
Horrible to think that there's somebody walking around that could do something like that, you know. Like, there must have been at least 3,000 or 4,000 people at his wake, and you were looking at every single person that came through that door and wondering if they had any injuries, how they got them, or...
Or looking at their eyes and seeing, were they looking shifty? I mean, it's natural, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did, you doubted everybody. You still do, and it's terrible to think you could have shook hands with the person who killed him, you know. But I definitely think it had to be more than one person, you know. I don't think one person would have been able to do that on their own.
Because he was a big lad.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
What was he, 6 foot?
6'4".
He was a bouncer too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he was a tough boy.
Yeah.
So you don't think one person could have done this?
No.
And how's the family dealt with it? What has it done to the family?
I don't know, we've always been a close family, but like, I suppose, you know, sometimes we're not as close as we were, you know, and that. But there's not a day goes by that somebody doesn't mention him. You know, there's something that'll remind you of him, or, you know, something silly. But you have to go on, like.
Yeah. But I mean, we're not made to deal with these situations, are we?
No.
Not, you know, we're not designed to lose loved ones in this fashion, in this way.
No.
So how do you psychologically deal with it? Do you have nightmares about it, or...?
Yeah, you do. But, like, I mean, to be honest, like, I didn't see him at the time, but I did see the pictures afterwards at the time of the inquest. And to be honest, I actually felt better after I saw the pictures, because I actually had thought it would be even worse than what it was. Like, you know, and it actually...
Bad as it was.
Yeah, you know, I thought, like, bad as it was, I thought it was going to be worse. And I think because of what had been said to me at the time, I just... It was. And my little brother said terrible nightmares afterwards, like, you know.
He's the boy that found him.
And the younger fella.
And what age were they then?
19 and 20.
What made them go to the house that day?
My stepfather had died 3 months beforehand, and my mum was selling a car, and the younger brothers were going away for the day, and mum didn't want to be there on her own when there was some man coming to see the car, so she wanted to get him out of bed to come down and be there. And she had rang him up, and there was no answer. And he had been in bad form, like, he had a kidney infection and he was, you know, not feeling the best. And she thought just he was having a lie-in. So in the end up, she says, you know, go on up and see. So my brother and a friend jumped in the car and went up. And when they went into the house, then they found him. So they came down the road again then and got mum.
What a sight.
Yeah.
So they have to live with that image of the brother that they loved.
Well, like, I mean, I can only imagine, because, like, I mean, I know my youngest brother, when he saw my stepfather too dead at the bottom of the stairs, and afterwards, if he even stood at the bottom of the stairs, he would say, "Don't stand there, you're standing on top of Jimmy," like, you know. So, you know, that alone, like,
Your stepdad had died suddenly too.
He had a heart attack and fell down the stairs and died, and three months before.
Wow! So this, your mother had to deal with all of this.
Yeah. So, you know, I saw how it, so. It could have only been 10 times worse, you know, seeing your brother like that, you know.
What about your mum?
Oh, she's still trying to cope with it.
How?
Just taking one day as it comes, just basically.
And do you find it hard talking about him to her because you don't want to upset her?
Or? No, we always talk about him.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you say when you talk?
Well, just, I suppose, anecdotes about things that he did. And
you're always smiling when you talk about him, so yeah. I presume you have laughs about him. And
yeah.
Do you try not to?
We don't talk about the actual killing or anything like that. We just talk about him. You know, you don't talk about that day. It just never comes up.
Well, let me ask you this, Karina, because who knows? There may well be somebody listening to this programme today that knows something. Right, that has it on their conscience. They may not be the person that did it, but they might be a friend or family member. But what would you say to that person today as the sister of this man who was so horrendously murdered?
Well, I think they should come forward and give us closure, because, like, the biggest thing for us is why? Why did it happen? You know, who could have done such a thing? And, you know, I think the why is the big one, you know, and we'll never have closure as long as we don't know.
the why. Mm. It's not so much the person being sent to jail for 20 years, is it?
No, we wouldn't be vindictive like that, you know, but you do think at the same time that you'd be worried about anybody walking around there that's capable of doing that, that they wouldn't do it again. Like, you would be worried from that point of view.
Well, of course, as I was at school with him, and I was in the same class, same desk, and he was a gentleman, and we had many fun days.
That's nice.
You know? So you're saying to that person that might be listening, that knows something, and somebody must know something.
They have to.
I mean, we're a small community, aren't we? So somebody has to know something. Come forward.
Yes.
You know, ease your conscience. Mm-hmm. But most of all, help this family that are suffering daily because of this terrible loss. Mm-hmm. And what would that mean to you?
It would mean a lot. You know, it would give us some closure, because at the moment you're in limbo, you just don't know.
And what will you do next Thursday on the 10th anniversary?
Well, we're having a mass on Sunday for his anniversary. So normally on a Thursday, like, sometimes I can't go in because, like, with the kids in school and that, but like my sister and my mum will go to the grave and all on Thursday. But I'll probably go when I'm in on Sunday.
So, what's on the gravestone?
He loved horses. So his grave is actually sealed off with four different slabs. So one of them's got his horses on it, and another one's got his rosary beads, because he, you know, he was very religious. He had three different sets of rosary beads. And the other one was his rally cars, because he was into the rally cars. He was into rallying. And then the fourth one's a prayer. And then there's just the picture of him on the actual headstone.
Okay, Karina, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sean.